All right, guys, welcome. Finally, I've actually tried to do this intro so many times that it's almost gone like robotic. I've got like a script. No, I don't. But basically my microphone just isn't cooperating today. And I've got a huge contraption in front of me. Like this microphone, I couldn't find my condenser mic that I was using. So I'm using like a really old, like 300-year-old fucking microphone. Like it's something that Fred Flintstone would use. But I mean, I hope it works because I recorded a full episode on, when was that? I think it was Wednesday night. It was like an hour and a half long. I was so into that episode. I was sweating. It was popping off. I mean, it was just such, I was like, I got up from it. I was like, holy shit, this is such a good episode. And I went back to listen to it. And for some reason, I recorded it in stereo and you could only hear it out of like one earphone. And I sounded like a mouse as well. Like you couldn't hear anything. I sent it to one of my friends who's like an audio designer. And he was like, man, you're just going to have to redo the whole thing. Oh my God. So here I am. Here I am, guys, recording another episode. But no, this is going to be fun. I'm excited to do this. I've been wanting to do this for ages. I've been wanting to like bring on some guests for ages. And like over a year ago, I started reaching out to people and they were like, yeah, absolutely, I'll do it. Like, when do you want to do it? And I was just so busy at the time that I couldn't get around to it. So, you know, that's excuses. But, you know, I'm going to get around to it now. I'm going to assign an hour or two a week to recording an episode. I'm going to bring on some really cool guests. I've got some really great people lined up. And yeah, if you're listening to this and you want to come on, just hit me up in the DM on Instagram or whatever. And we'll make it happen. Also, if you want to sponsor this thing, you know, we've got 3 viewers. You've got a really good opportunity to, you know, reach your target audience through my 2.5 viewers right now. So, you know, hit me up as well and we can organize some sponsorship deal. That's going to be cool. I think let's just get a... I don't have any topic at all set out. I mean, I think I put out something on my phone here. And it's like, because from the last episode, it was like, talk about starting this podcast, the episodes we tried to record. Starting Pineapple. Okay, so I'm going to talk about starting my company when I was like 17. The event management company. I mean, I've nothing else. So, yeah, so I think I'm just going to start. I'm going to start on maybe my own company and Pineapple and like the background of Pineapple, how I started the company. And like, I mean, I'm not going to hold anything back. I'm going to tell you how much money I made, how much money I make, how I make that money, how I do it. Because, you know, I'm sick of listening to people's podcasts and they're so vague. Are you ever on Instagram and there's like this fucking entrepreneur dude and he's like, yeah, swipe up to get my course. You do the course. At the end of the course, it's like, yeah, buy my other course for like 7 million euros. And you never know how they're actually doing what they do. It's so vague. So I'm just going to be very honest in this podcast, which I think is key, really, you know? I'm just going to take a... I have some coffee here, guys, if anyone wants one, you know? So... Also, this episode is really weird because it's just me. Like, that's fucking weird. I'm talking to myself, like I'm in my room here in Cork, sitting on the couch with this huge microphone in front of me. And there's also a mirror in front of me. So it's like really awkward. I'm looking at myself, speaking to myself into a microphone, which is hilarious. But if I can make this work, it'll be good. It's Saturday in Cork. It's absolutely lashing outside. It's like torrential rain and like all of my friends are at this festival, Independence. They're all sleeping in tents, so I'm hoping they're not like drowned rats. I'm actually gutted that I couldn't go to that. But I am playing some piano gigs this weekend, which is fun. I absolutely love it. I used to play when I was like 14 or 15. I started playing in restaurants in Ireland. And I stopped for a couple of years to kind of focus on my business and just kind of stop playing the piano in general, which is really bad. And like my parents and like my aunt, like would always say to me, like, you have to keep up the music. And I just stopped, and I actually thought that I'd never lose the ability to play the piano, but I remember stopping for like a year, and just my touch on the piano wasn't the same. It was completely lost. So I just said it to myself that I wanted to get like a residency here, like, and yeah, I've been playing like every weekend for the last like 4 or 5 months, which is really cool. And it's just really great to be able to play music again. And yeah, so I think I'm just going to talk about maybe starting Pineapple and the company basically that I started when I was like, what age was I when I started that? That was actually so long ago. It's actually scary thinking back on it now. Like, I think I was about 16, 17 when I thought up of the idea. And it's basically an event management company that caters to like all ages, like from 13-year-olds to 50-year-olds. We basically started in a hotel in Cork here on New Year's Eve. I can't even remember what year it was. It was years ago. I was about 17, just going on 18, and it was New Year's. And like, so the idea came about because I used to run a lot of house parties in my house, and like, they were just like absolutely manic. My parents would kill me the next day. Like, there would just be, the house would have gotten wrecked. Like, there would be like broken plates, broken glasses everywhere, because I just wanted my friends to have fun. And I invited so many people. I was like, I would like message my friends, look, you can bring a plus one, bring a plus two. I was like a club promoter by the time I was like 14. So I was like, yeah, bring all of your friends. And I mean, on the night then, there would be like 150, 200 people showing up in my house. And in my house, we've got like a detached kitchen. It's quite a large kitchen. We'd put like a DJ in there, like a sound and lighting rig. And oh my, I was infamous for these parties. It was hilarious. But I remember one year, my brother said it to me. He was like, what do you want to do? Like, what do you want to do when you grow up? Just because at the time he had just started his company. He was doing really well in Germany, and he was always kind of pushing me on to do things. And he was just like, yeah, what would you like to do? And I was like, I've just always been into entertainment, entertaining people. And I'd love to kind of like run parties, run nightclubs, run venues. And he was like, why don't you just maybe like hire out a small venue in Cork and do exactly what you're doing here? Yeah, but just do it somewhere in Cork city centre and see what happens. So, I mean, like thinking back on it now, I was so young at the time that I didn't see any risk involved. I just looked at it and I was like, ah, yeah, let's just do it. Let's just see what happens. I mean, now, like, I look at things and I'm like, oh, what if something were to happen? What if I don't have enough money to run this? But I just had that mindset because I was so young and I didn't see any problem, which is hiring out a venue, publicly selling all the tickets and just going head on with this idea, which was a really good thing, because I would have never done it. I don't think I would have ever done it if I would have started it today. But yeah, I think it was New Year's Eve. This is about 6, 7, 8 years ago or something like that. And I was like, fuck it, let's just run a New Year's Eve party. I kind of studied the market in the city. I looked at the nightclubs and I saw that there was like no events for like 18s or over. It was all like 20, 21 to like 25s in town, like 21, 22, 23 and older ages. So I was like, okay, let's go to this hotel. I mean, it could probably hold like 1,000 people and let's just see what they say. I remember going down, I was so young. I went down with my mom, and like, so my mom is also like super into like event management. My parents have been running these, like corporate functions for years. So I kind of grew up working out in Blarney Castle, doing a lot of like flyering and things like that. My parents used to own the photographic rights to the stone out there. And they had like a huge tourist business where they would like take photographs of people kissing the Blarney Stone. And I would be working there as a kid. So I was kind of just always, it was always in my blood. But my mom came along to that first meeting and she was just so good because she knew everyone. She knew the people to get the insurance, the sound and lighting, the DJs, absolutely everyone. So shout out to my mom for really kind of helping me at the start there. So we met the manager, and I remember he was like, you're really young to be doing this. Do you know what you're doing? And I was like, I mean, just give me one shot. It's going to be a small event, and you have my word that it's going to, you know, run smoothly, run safe. And I think I booked it about 6 or 7 weeks before the date was due to commence. And I announced on Facebook. Was it Facebook? I think it was Facebook. I announced it on Facebook. Before that, I actually had to form the company. So it's funny. I was like, I remember sitting in my kitchen and I was like thinking of company names. And I was a huge fan of Steve Jobs from Apple. And I remember reading his biography and just being a massive fan of his vision. And just, sorry guys, my audio just cut off. I mean, that was bound to happen, wasn't it? But yeah, I was talking about Steve Jobs and that I was a huge fan of Apple. And yeah, so I mean, Pineapple Entertainment came about because I literally was like thinking of fruits. I was like, Apple, Pear Entertainment, Pineapple Entertainment. Pineapple Entertainment, that sounds good. I mean, I always wanted a company as well that had a distinctive logo that when you looked at my logo, you didn't have to think of the name. You just looked at the logo and you said, okay, that's Pineapple Entertainment. So I sent the rough idea to my brother in Berlin. Like he, at the time he was, well, he still owns the agency. He runs a really big design agency called AJ and Smart. So he's just really good like with making logos and anything design. So I just sent him the rough idea of this. And he literally within 20 minutes, he sent back a really cool, like distinctive logo of like a pineapple with Pineapple Entertainment in it, like really cool. And I remember that night just going on my computer, making like the Facebook page, making everything and putting it up on my personal page. And I just, what always stands out to me now is like, I mean, some of my close friends were supportive, but so many people were like really jealous of me and like putting me down. And like to the point where they were like sharing the post, like, who the fuck does this guy think he is? Like starting this thing, running parties. And I never understand that. It's totally different now. Like it's because I've kind of validated myself now. People are like, okay, he's doing this and you know, it's Adam. He's just going to do this anyway. But at the time people were trying to knock me down and, you know, thankfully I was just the kind of person that let everything blow over my head and went at it anyway. But I mean, it was just ridiculous thinking back of like how unsupportive people were. But anyway, yeah, I remember that first event, putting it up on Facebook, doing the event page. And I think I printed like, say like 500 tickets. And then I did like online sales as well. So what I did was I like hired loads of my close friends and then like put up a status saying, okay, if you sell a ticket here, you'll get a free ticket. So there was like an incentive for the reps to sell tickets. And I remember on like the third week, nothing was selling. And I was like, kind of like getting a bit worried here. Like not one ticket is sold. Everyone is saying like they're staying home for New Year's and they're not going anywhere. They're definitely not going to the event. And I met the manager of the hotel and he was like, okay, do you want to pull the plug or what do you want to do? And I was like, I really just want to kind of stick it out for maybe two more weeks and see what happens. Because I mean, I had put the money forward anyway. I took it from my savings. And I mean, this was all the money that I had. It was probably like close to 3,000 euros just to run this first event. Because I had to get the insurance, like the DJ, the sound and lighting rig, like everything, the rental of the hall, everything. The formation of my company. I remember going to the accountant and it's funny because he's a family friend. And he was like to my mom, oh my God, like is your son actually seriously going to like doing this? Cause I was just so young at the time and no one really took me seriously. It was really hard to get people to take me seriously. And I just remember that really like tough couple of years there where I was just super young and just really trying to grind it on the ground. And so yeah, that setting up of the company, the rental, everything, it probably cost me about 3,000 euros. So I was already kind of like, I was like, okay, let's just actually try to do this. What can I do to get this event to sell? So what I actually did was I kind of pointed out to people that there was nothing else going on in the city. I really tried to get that across the socials. Like I was putting in the posters. It's the only over 18 event in Cork City. And I mean, slowly but surely, the tickets started to sell, but nothing crazy. And I remember about a week before the event, I remember I came home, I think I came home from like the gym or something, and my phone was just popping off. It was blowing up. And I mean, all of my close friends from school were texting me like, hey, Adam, can you like hold me tickets for this event? On New Year's. And I was like, okay, this is really weird. Like it's really going crazy. And I actually remember one of my really close buddies, Declan Curran, messaged me on Facebook, and he was like, Adam, your event has gone viral. And I was like, oh my God, man, this is fucking insane. I've never seen anything like this. So the event page had like 3,000, 4,000 people clicking, attending on it. All of the tickets had sold out online. There was people begging me for tickets. It was just absolutely crazy. And on the night, I think I had about 100 tickets left over. So I, you know, we were going to sell them at the counter on the night. The day of the event, I went down to the hotel really early with my family. My brother flew over from Berlin. It was really nice of him just to come over and support me. And a lot of my family came, and my close friends and everything. We were setting up the venue, and everything was just, you know, popping off. It was really cool to see this idea come into fruition. About an hour before the event, I remember I was upstairs in the hotel room getting ready. I'd like bought a suit and everything just to be like really professional and stuff. So I was in my room. I remember I was in the bathroom actually, and I was just like putting on my shirt, and I got a call from my brother, and I was like, okay, yeah. I was like, hey, Jonathan, what's the story? He was like, Adam, come downstairs right now. And I started to like notice, are you at a concert? Are you at a nightclub, or where are you? It's really loud. Sounds like there's like hundreds of people like around you. And he was like, I'm in the lobby downstairs. There's like 1,000 people outside. You need to come down right now, because there's people like pinning us up against the wall to get tickets. I mean, my mom told me that she was like some like group of kids were like outside, like offering her like 50 to 100 euros per ticket. Which was absolutely insane, because the tickets are like 15 euros, something like that. But it was just to the point where people were really desperate, because they were already in town. They expected to get these tickets and they had nowhere else to go. So, I mean, we just didn't expect this at all. And the event went on anyway. And it was honestly one of the most amazing nights of my life. I just remember like everyone had such a good time. It was all of my really close friends, my friends from school, people that I grew up with, a lot of people that I knew from Cork, and everyone was coming up to me, shaking my hand. They were like, Adam, this has just been such an incredible night. And you've put something on that's just like going to completely change the entertainment scene in Cork. And even a lot of the industry people that were in this industry for years were like messaging me. They're like, oh, this is such a unique idea. Keep it going, you know? And I woke up the next day to just a ton of messages on the page and like loads of like 5-star reviews and things like that. And I mean, I remember sitting there the next day just thinking, oh my God, we're actually really onto something here. This could be something really, really good. And yeah, so that's basically how I started the company, all just from that small idea. And, you know, just the grit of getting out there and, you know, not being afraid to really going after like what I wanted there. And from there, I mean, I went back to the drawing board and made like a proper strategy of how I was going to run these events and how I was going to move forward and how I was going to make the company profitable. And, you know, for me, really, I'm still the same. It really wasn't about the money for me. I really wanted people to enjoy themselves. I wanted to build a brand. I mean, everyone knows the way I am about branding. Like the pineapple logo was absolutely everywhere. I mean, it was just always in people's face. Like at the events, the pineapple would be behind the DJ. It would be in the footer of every photograph that was taken at the event. Sorry guys, I just had to take a quick toilet break. So I was talking about pineapple sponsored by pineapple. So I think I'm gonna change the subject and talk about the tough times at pineapple. Yeah, talk about like the really hard times. Like, I mean, I didn't just start this company and make a shit ton of money and, you know, run all these events and nightclubs and have a smile on my face all the time. there was some really, really hard times where I wanted to give up, where I wanted to literally just close the company down and just, you know, just say, fuck it. I'm just going to, you know, go back, play the piano and chill out and close this thing down completely. Because, I mean, there were some events that didn't run right. There were some events that, you know, I had to cancel. There was some times when I ran out of money and I had to go to the bank the day before the event because I had someone coming the next morning at 9 a.m. and I owed them like 5,000 euros, but I didn't have it. So there's also those times. And I think the worst time ever I'm going to tell you about was an event that we ran in 2015. And, you know, a lot of people know about this. For anyone new to the podcast or anyone that doesn't know me, you won't know about this, but I ran an event in 2015 that was a catastrophic failure to the highest magnitude. Not to the highest magnitude, chill out, but it was pretty bad. So basically, to put a long story short in what happened, basically we ran an event. It was a teenage event. For about, you know, it was, the venue could hold about 1,200 to 1,500 people, and some of our tickets got duplicated. We oversold some of the tickets, and as soon as everyone was let into the venue, there was 1,000 people spewed out outside waiting to get in. These are people that traveled from all over Ireland. There was two buses from Donegal, which is about 5 hours away, to travel, and you can imagine them coming down for this one night and having to travel all the way back home. They couldn't get in, so you can imagine there was a lot of angry people outside of the venue. And I mean, I remember just being like terrified to go out and talk to the people because I had to tell them that they couldn't get into the venue. It was completely full, and this was the first time that anything went wrong with any of my events. It was smooth sailing. And I think that's why I got a bit complacent. I didn't notice that, you know, the tickets were being duplicated. I printed, also those tickets that I printed for that event were actually terrible, because what happened was I announced the event, it went viral, and I didn't wait to make really good, proper tickets with holograms on them. They weren't numbered. So I just said, okay, I'm actually going to be greedy here and sell the tickets right away. I want them printed right now. I need them within the next hour because people want to buy them. And I made a massive mistake there. And what happened was, you could literally take the print of this ticket, you could go to any printer at all, even if it was a really cheap printer, and duplicate these tickets. So that's what happened. And there was like 1,000 people left outside. And the next day I was literally on every single radio station in Ireland, because this wasn't just people like outside of a venue. There was people that actually got trapped in one of the lifts in the venue. 3 fire brigades showed up. There was police officers everywhere. It was absolutely manic. The traffic was held up for hours outside of the venue. I'm also just like trying to trickle this down into a really short story because it's such an insane story. But I just remember, before the event kind of happened, me and my rep team, shout out to Ashling, Eva, Gail, all of our team, Leah, that helped me that night, because we stood in like a line across and like we're checking all of the tickets. As soon as we realized that someone had copied the tickets, you could notice it. I mean, it was definitely on cheaper paper, cheaper card. But as soon as the venue filled up, everything, you know, went downhill from there. The people had nowhere to go. Their buses that had brought them hours down to this event had left because they were going away and coming back. I mean, the parents of the kids were showing up absolutely like the tempers were unbelievable. I got like spat on, I got punched at, and like my team were getting harassed and everything. And I remember, like, this is, you know, shouldn't be laughing about this, but the manager of the hotel was hiding in a bush because it was such an insane situation. Like hiding in a bush, like there was kids jumping in the windows trying to get into this event because it was hyped up for a whole year. It was like one of the most popular events in Ireland for teenagers. It was probably the most popular event in Ireland for teenagers at the time. And I mean, I failed. I made a huge mistake, and you know, my strategy had holes in it. So I remember the next day, just, you know, being in a panic. I remember just having like a fucking panic attack because there were so many like radio presenters ringing me and I was on all of the newspapers. I was getting slaughtered. If I stepped outside, I remember going into town just on like a Sunday or something and people were like coming up to me. Are you the guy that ran that event? Are you the guy that ran that like crazy event? I can't believe, like, why did you do that? Like, what are you doing? You shouldn't own a business. You shouldn't be running a business. Seriously, just get a normal, just get a proper job. Just do something else. And oh my God, it was the most demoralizing thing ever just to hear that. Because I mean, I'd built this brand like over about 4 or 5 years up to this point and like spent meticulously building this brand, like, I mean, for me, it was never about the money. It was about people having fun, enjoying themselves. And I always spent, I remember that night, I think I spent like 30,000 euros just on the setup, on the people coming, on the venue and everything. And yeah, it was just an absolute slap in the face just to see the event go wrong like that. But, you know, more importantly, I realized that I had holes in my game and I didn't take the advice from my parents and a lot of people around me at the time, because I mean, I was running 8 to 10 events per month. I was doing that on my own. I had a team of reps that I had to manage, about 30 to 40 reps per event. I mean, there was money going everywhere. It was just really unorganized. And yeah, so I just simply went back to the drawing board. I outlined what I did wrong and I said, okay, I'm not going to let this, you know, knock me down. And I mean, I'll be honest with you, it really did, you know, put me into some really bad place at the time, because I didn't want to run any more events because I was afraid in case I failed again and then I would be an even bigger failure. But I'm just the type of person that if I get knocked down, I will always get back up. And that's what I did. I mean, I went door to door to every single venue. This was out, not just in Cork. This was outside of Cork, all over Ireland. And everyone said no. Everyone. They were like, I'm not associating our venue with your name because you're the guy that ran this event in 2015. It was a whole year later and I had given up. I had given up on that. I was running a different business. I think I was doing some marketing things at the time and, you know, doing some marketing for venues in the background. And it was just really sad because, like, I remember just being out on nights out and people were like, oh, you were the guy that used to run the Pineapple Entertainment and the events. Whatever happened to that? Like, you ever going to come back? And I was like, oh, you know, I'll probably just do something else now. And the, you know, people's words just got to me and the self-doubt got to me and I did give up. I genuinely gave up. I went to my accountant. I said, just put this company on hold. I'll probably close it sometime over the next couple of months. And I remember, like, my parents were like, hop on. You obviously have to come back. And, you know, slowly over time, I kind of made a plan to, like do some small events. And I remember, actually, I think we were in one of the nightclubs in Cork, and One guy at the time, his name, shout out to David Whitaker, one of my really good friends right now. He was running a rival company doing the exact same thing in a hotel. Very similar business. And I was like, okay, do you know what? I'm going to go up to this guy and chat to him and see if we could run something absolutely huge together. And within the first 5 minutes of talking, I mean, two of us were drunk. We were just shit talking, really. I was just like, Dave, let's sit down next week, let's have a coffee and let's organize something absolutely colossal for people. And he didn't bat an eye. He was like, yeah, that sounds amazing, because I think at the time he was also kind of not really running them consistently. He kind of ran, I think he ran one or two and then kind of stopped or something like that. But I approached him, I was like, let's just team up and just do this together. And We went around to a really, really big venue here in Cork. Like, Jesus, it's fucking massive. And they were like, yeah, let's do it. They didn't even question me about what happened before, because we had such a good plan in place. It was like a bulletproof plan where nothing could go wrong this time. You know, the tickets were from Ticketmaster. The whole strategy was foolproof. There was no holes in the bag. And we ran the event. We sold it out. And long story short, we consistently ran those events every month. We built the brand up again from the ground up. We put the groundwork in. we'd done everything right this time. I outlined what I did wrong and I came head on and absolutely, you know, me and Dave built such an incredible brand. And, you know, we started to, we tied the knot on that business. It was running consistently for itself every single month. It had an incredible team. And then we opened our own marketing agency. We'd done videos for like Volvo and other companies and started running other types of events and things like that. And it was just really big learning curve. But I think the important thing is to know that, like, if you do fall, just understand that everyone makes fucking mistakes. In every part of life, in friendships, in relationships, everything, in business. I mean, you're going to make a mistake. And you just have to understand that that is not the end. You know, you just have to plan how you're going to, you know, regain some confidence and get yourself back together and get up. And that's exactly what we did. And sometimes you might need another person to do that. You can't do everything on your own. You can't build a fucking huge scalable business on your own. Some people can, but at that time I couldn't. I needed a partner. I needed to bring people in. I needed the advice from other people. And that's what it is, you know, that we built that brand back up from the ground, and I'm so proud of what we did. And, you know, kind of looking back at that event, it was the best thing that ever happened to us, because that was the biggest learning curve. We thought we were invincible at the time. It's like, we are literally the biggest event company, one of the biggest event companies in Munster here. We're never going to fail. This is perfect. Let's keep going this way. I'm never hiring anyone, because I had too much of an ego, because I thought that I was a superhero running these events, and that, like, if I delegated any of my work to anyone else, the event plan would fail, because I have just like the biggest OCD with these type of things. I was like, okay, I need to do the designing of the posters. I need to hire the venue. I need to like hire all the staff, everything. And at the time I was just like a super stressed out, like angry, anxious person. And, you know, I didn't understand what was going wrong. I was like, oh, this is just the life of an entrepreneur. And as soon as I started to delegate my work, it, you know, started to come together. But, you know, those are learning curves of business. And these are things that you're never going to learn in college. You just have to, you know, go through trial and error. Absolutely, you know. But yeah, fast forward, that business was running really well. I was running a lot of nightclubs and doing had a marketing agency on the side, and, you know, keeping up with my music and things. And I mean, I always had a really big goal to go and work for, I mean, other festivals, other brands, other companies abroad and things like that. And I didn't go to college, so I had no college degree to go to a company and say, hey, can I come work for you? I have a master's here, and you know, like marketing or event planning, anything. But fast forward to, I can't even remember, was that 2 years ago? I think it was 2 years ago. I messaged he's actually a friend of mine on Facebook. We became friends through it was a family friend, basically. And he had a PR firm that ran the PR for massive music festivals, the biggest, like Tomorrowland, Ultra Music Festival, I mean, World Club Dome. They did the PR for like Kygo, Avicii, everyone, all of the big shots. They did the PR for these guys. And I was just always looking at his posts on Facebook like, oh my God, this guy has the most incredible life. This job would be my absolute dream. And I remember for years, I mean, it must have been 4 or 5 years, I would message him and just be like, could you give me a shot at this? I mean, I'll prove myself. I'll come over to New York. I'll come over to London and I'll come work for you. And I really, really want to come work for you and just prove myself. And he was like, you know, maybe next year. And it went on for a few years and I kind of gave up. And then I remember 1 year, I think it was around November, was it? It was around November, and I messaged him. I was like, hey, okay, look, I've been running these events for the last few years. I've failed. I've succeeded. I've been in every kind of different market. Like I've ran like hundreds of staff and I've done all this. I just really want to come work for you for 2 weeks. Give me 2 weeks. Just give me 1 month and I'll prove myself. I'll pay for everything. You don't have to pay me. I'll come over and, you know, just give me this one shot. And I remember it was around Christmas time then when he came back to me, and he sent me some guy's number. And shout out to Luke, who absolutely opened his arms to me at the company. I remember him calling me He was in a bar with another friend of mine, Nick, who worked at the company, who now works at a really big record label now in Los Angeles. And they called me and I was like, oh my God, this is incredible. Can you just give me one shot? And I sent them an email of like basically just saying, oh, look, I'll come over. I won't be any harm. I'll do whatever you say. You know, that's it. And they're like, okay, can you start on the 14th of January? And this time now I was like, oh wow, this is like in 2 weeks or something like this. So, I just said, okay, let's do it. I went on Airbnb. I Airbnb'd an apartment for 2 weeks. It was the most expensive, the most outrageous apartment. And it was like an absolute shack of a place. Like, but it was just in a really, like, it was located near the office. I mean, I'd never lived out of home before that. So I wanted to live near the job. And I remember flying over, not knowing what the hell was going on, just saying, okay, this is just so me. Like, I just say I'm going to do something and I just, you know, figure out a way and I just go and try it. Like, you know, just, you never know if you never try. So I remember going over, like, shitting it, so nervous, my first day in the office. And I remember walking in and shout out to Rosie, who came down and, you know, met me at the lift and welcomed me with open arms into the office. And the most incredible team of people welcomed me there. And I was trained in by these people, you know, shout out to Henry, Rosie, and, you know, Polly, who basically trained me in and opened their arms to me at the company. And I traveled the whole world with this PR company. I mean, I remember my first festival, I was with the company a month and we flew to New York for 2 weeks and, you know, worked there for the build up for Ultra Music Festival in Miami. And I went there on my second month working for this company and I'm just standing there on the stage in Miami. There's hundreds of thousands of people out there and I'm just thinking of starting Pineapple in my room in Cork in a tiny hotel. And I'm just like, it's so true. Like, if you put your mind to something and you really want it hard enough, you can really do it and just believe in yourself. And you know, it, like, a lot of people don't believe in the law of attraction, but that shit is so fucking true. Like, it definitely does work. And I'm just standing there surrounded by this incredible team of like the most intelligent people like ever that are just so good at their job and they make it look so easy. And it just wasn't easy at all. And at the time I was stressing out constantly because I thought I was going to get fired all the time. And, you know, I mean, that team, you couldn't have asked for a better team to work with. I traveled the whole world with that team. We did all the big festivals and I learned so much. And yeah, so, I mean, I think just the message here that I'm trying to get across in this podcast is, you know, if you want to start something, don't be afraid to fucking go out there and do it and put your first fucking foot forward, even if it's a small step. If you want to do anything, if you want to open a shop, if you want to learn to play the piano, learn to fucking sing, to do anything, just be a creative or whatever. I mean, don't be afraid to go out there and do it and don't listen to anyone telling you that you can't. And I think it's so, so important to believe in yourself. And, you know, today I just have this obsessive belief that I can do anything that I set my mind to and there is no one that could, you know, knock me down because I've been through thick and fucking thin over the last couple of years in situations, in business and relationships and everything. And I think that you just have to take things head on and, you know, and yeah, I think this podcast is just going to be a lot of these rants and bringing on a lot of really inspirational people that can give you great advice. And I'm not saying that I'm, you know, this fucking guru or anything, you know, I think this podcast is going to help me a lot as well because the guests that I bring on would absolutely shit on me. So I'm just going to be like a student here asking a million questions, you know, but, yeah, I think that for the first episode, I think I got a bit too into it on one stage, but, I think it's good. And I hope that the audio is okay. And yeah, I think I'm going to finish it there. If you have any questions at all, just, you know, the best place to contact me is Instagram. I'd say my handle is Adam Courtney. So it's got two M's. I'm actually really annoyed because I tried to get the handle just Adam Courtney with a 1M because I was in London and we were actually having a house party and this group, like my friends, this group of girls came in. They were like, hey, Adam McCourtney. I was like, McCourtney? I was like, they were like, oh yeah, you're Adam McCourtney, right? It's the double M on the Instagram. I was like, it's Adam Courtney. So tried to change it and someone actually took my handle. He's a photographer and I messaged him. I was like, yo man, could I offer you some coin, you know, for the page? He was like, no way. That's fair enough. Fair enough. But yeah, thanks so much for listening, guys. And if you made it this far, this podcast is sponsored by... No, I'm only joking. I have no sponsors. If you want to be a sponsor, though, guys, hit me up because we've got trillions of viewers. And yeah, we've got actually like 2 viewers, I'd imagine, that made it here. But thanks so much. And yeah, if you can repost this podcast on your story, I'll probably end up posting this podcast with like a post. If you can put that on your story and just repost it, that would be incredible. And I'm looking forward to the next one. So, all right, guys. Love you all. Bye-bye.